into the garbage, you flyboy.
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Welcome to this month's Trash Compactor podcast, Star Wars from the Female Perspective. I'm MC and I'm here with...
April.
So, before we get into this month's roundtable, it's been 2 months since The Last Jedi came out, and there's a lot of Star Wars stuff in the last little while. So I think the first thing that happened is the Rebels trailer for the final 3 to 6 episodes. I don't really... It's like 3 weeks of episodes, but I think there's 6 episodes, and they're just like airing them all together. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm super excited about it because I love me some Rebels, and this is it.
Word. I haven't started watching it yet, but once it's complete, once it's complete, I will be like, I'll have no excuse.
Yeah, you're totally going to love it once you watch it.
See, I didn't really get into Clone Wars.
Yeah. I've honestly had a problem getting into Clone Wars, but the characters on Rebels are so fucking good. Okay.
So I don't know if it was the animation style or the storylines. I love Ahsoka, but like, you know, I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely interested to see what happens with this because, I mean, we've got 2 Jedi hanging around like right before Rogue One, so something has got to happen.
Yeah.
Probably something bad.
Yeah.
And in other trailer news, we had, I don't think it's the actual trailer, I think.
It's a long teaser, right?
Yeah, we've had a teaser for the teaser, and then the teaser for Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Yes.
Which, this is a bit late in the game to have, like, these layered teasers.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about The Last Jedi, the teaser came out in April, right?
Yeah, it came out at Celebration. Yeah.
That was like 8 months before
the
movie came out. But I think that they may have just finished this movie may not be completely finished because of they had to reshoot so much. Wow, we're just dripping with excitement, aren't we?
This movie feels so weird to me. I mean, like, The Last Jedi just came out. Like, it's coming out on DVD and everything, I believe, in March.
Yeah, I had forgotten that Solo was supposed to come out in May.
Same here.
I was like, oh, yeah, because, I've been, and now I'm kind of sad we don't have Star Wars at Christmas this year.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know how excited I'd be about having this Star Wars at Christmas.
True. It probably wouldn't have done as well. I don't know. I'm sort of like, don't know, like, how's this movie going to do? Because, like, I'm obviously going to go see it, but I've seen so many people who have claimed that they're going to wait until the DVD. But some of them I'm just like, really? You know? Like, yeah. And those people might torrent it, but still, I'm just like, I don't know, guys. Especially if Donald Glover ends up getting, like, really good reviews, I think a lot of people will be like, okay, yeah, I'll go see it for him.
Yeah. My whole reaction to it was, like, the Donald Glover gift set from Community. It's like, this sounds terrible. I want to see it twice.
Yeah, and like, that's my thing. I don't expect quality from Star Wars movies. And maybe that's bad. But I'm just like, I just want to be entertained. So if it entertains me, I don't care. You know? Like, whatever, in whatever capacity.
I care a certain amount. Like, I mean, it still needs to be good for me.
Yeah.
This movie's just got a weird energy around it.
It does.
But I'm still going to go see it. It doesn't feel like Disney really cares about it because they're releasing it in May, like 6 months after the last Star Wars movie. And they've got the first Infinity War movie that's coming out at the exact same time.
This might be a bloodbath. Like, and also, I'm sure that the budget has just, it's got to be way, like, astronomically out of
budget. Oh, yeah. Well, too. It seems like they've just shot, like, an entirely new movie with Ron Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, the weird energy, it's like almost a movie, like, I feel like if they could have, they would have released it in February, but, like, before Black Panther, you know? Like,
yeah.
So at least had one good weekend. But, yeah, it's just not, it's very strange. I was reading a review of the trailer from Sarah from CineSnark, who I don't usually agree with about Star Wars, like, at all. Like, she's a huge Star Wars fan, and I usually like her movie reviews, but it's not her Star Wars ones. She said that she actually thought that Lord and Miller were the only interesting thing about the movie. And after seeing the trailer, she's still like, well, Lord and Miller were the only interesting thing about the movie. And she kind of feels like that perhaps it wasn't that the movie was bad. It was just too far out of, like, the Lucasfilm Disney vision of what the movie should have been, you know. And because I'm sure they made it a buddy movie, which I was like, I wouldn't have minded, you know. Mm-hmm. I do, like, the whole thing with how they worked was maybe not cool, because I know, like, there were rumors that they liked to encourage a lot of improv, and Lawrence Kasdan is not super cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as his scripts, so that could have been a big deal. But yeah, I wouldn't have minded it feeling like a buddy movie, you know. Like, but I love 21 Jump Street, so
I don't. The most interesting part of this movie to me is Donald Glover as Lando. Like, from everything I've seen from the trailers, I'm like, he hasn't even said anything yet, and I'm already like, I'm in. Why is this Lando a Star Wars story?
I know. Like, I hope that he has a lot of screen time. Like, oh my gosh. I just feel like if it's like, because there was something that worried me. It was like, Lando makes an appearance, and I'm like, an appearance? He better be, like, in 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's probably not, but yeah.
That would
be disappointing, since he's pretty much the only thing. Plus, I'm really curious about Tandy Newton's character.
Yes.
And I love Phoebe Waller-Bates, so is that her name? Not Phoebe Waller. Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Waller-Bridge, yeah.
Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Waller. I was like, no, that's not right. Yeah, I love her a lot, so, and having, like, a droid voiced by a woman will be interesting too.
Yeah.
So it's basically, we love everything but Alden, and maybe he'll, like, I don't want him to fail. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I very much do not want him to fail, because that's terrible for his career.
Like, yes,
be a Hayden Christensen type thing. And, like, it's just, I want it to be good, because I want it to be a movie that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I just don't have a lot of faith.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, from what I've seen of him in the trailers, I'm not impressed. I am less impressed by the wank that I've seen online.
Yeah.
Because, oh my god, people are saying some really disgusting things.
So, you know, there's been some anti-Semitism, and
that's
just, like, blatant, and it's just so out there and ridiculous, and, like, so that's the one thing where that also just makes me think, well, I hope he does a fucking fine job, assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Also, know, BT Dubs, idiots, Harrison Ford's half Jewish, so, I mean, it doesn't even make sense for you to pick on his, you know, Jewishness, because, like, Han Solo is not the waspy.
Yeah, that, oh my gosh, yeah, so, I mean, basically, the comment was that this reviewer expects Han Solo to be, like, a waspy, swaggery frat boy type, which is all wrong. Like, on every, like, it's one of those every word you just said was wrong situations. He's not a wasp. He's not a swaggering frat boy. He's a guy who joined a band to get girls and still can't get girls, right? So, yeah, and it was just blatantly terrible. So I hope that that was just, like, an off, like, thing, and not, like, a trend that's going to be a thing. Like, I read that guy Matthew Wells or whatever, he's kind of a notorious anti-Semite, so hopefully that's not going to be a trend. Anyway,
yes, so moving on from the Solo movie, we had some super surprising news. No one was expecting this. Yesterday, it was announced that Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss will be doing their own Star Wars series. We know nothing about this other than it's going to be separate from the episodic Skywalker saga movies and separate from Rian Johnson's trilogy. We don't know how many movies it is. It's a series. and they're doing something with it. And that was actually something that really bugged me. They don't say what they're doing. Like, are they writing it? Are they directing it? If they're directing it, then I have a real problem.
I hope it's a, if they're writing it, it's a problem too. But I hope,
well, yes.
I really hope it's more of a development thing. You know, I, like, I'm just really bothered by it in ways, like, I feel like these are, like, I think it's really hypocritical for Kathy Kennedy to hire these guys, basically, after she's, you know, basically joined the Time's Up movement and all this other stuff, and then, you know, to basically be like, yeah, these guys who rely on rape as a plot device are great writers who are gonna do so much for our stories and push them forward. And also, the idea that, you know, there's a good chance that, like, ego was at play with both Lord and Miller and Trevorrow's firings, and then you hire these guys with these huge egos, like, okay, what the fuck is going on over there?
I mean, like, outside of the issues with Game of Thrones, and I certainly have issues of with Game of Thrones because I'm a devoted watcher to it, and I still have, you know, problems with it. But my problem, if they're doing more than writing it, because maybe they could do something different, I don't know. But if they're also directing it, they've both directed one episode of Game of Thrones apiece. And I'm sorry, I don't care if you're on an HBO budget. Doing one fucking episode of Game of Thrones is not the same as doing a big budget blockbuster movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, they love to pull guys who've directed, like, two TV shows to do blockbusters, you know?
That's bullshit.
I think from what I saw, it was just a writing and producing deal, though. It didn't mention directing.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because it was very this very vague statement. And I do feel like it was very much, we got to snap these guys up before they go do something else, because they're the hot shit that are suddenly
And maybe
available.
They paid them a bunch of money to develop, and it could be years out. You know, I'm hoping Ryan's stuff comes first, and then maybe this just never happens.
Yeah. I saw somebody hypothesizing that bringing out Solo so quickly after The Last Jedi is actually kind of a test balloon for Lucasfilm. Like, the reason they didn't push it back was because they want to try to release something 6 months after one of the episodic movies to see if they can do two Star Wars movies in a year.
So they can be Marvel?
Basically. Well, I mean, they're Disney, so.
Yeah. And, like, I was so, like, okay, I was so excited about the idea of some Star Wars every year whenever that was, like, promised. But I'm just, like, now I'm just worried about quality.
Burnout?
Yeah, and burnout. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm still riding high off The Last Jedi. We really enjoyed that, and granted, there's a lot of wank, but we enjoyed that, and, like, with Solo coming up, I'm like, I'm not fucking ready for you!
Yeah, I mean, and this, it's still 3 months away.
Yeah.
So, maybe by then.
I wish they would honestly spend more time on the books and the comics and everything. I'm not saying that what we're getting isn't great, but I want more of it. Because I'm, of course, a fan from the heyday of the 90s when you would be, I mean, granted, the quality of those books weren't as high as the ones we're getting now.
We are getting some really good, like, actual, like, good books. I really want more about Amelin Holdo and more about what the fuck Luke and Kylo and the students were up to.
Yes.
Before everything happened. Like, what were they doing? Like, that could, I mean, I think that could be an interesting comic book series.
Definitely. You know? And of course, like, there's going to be another cartoon show after Rebels. And I totally trust Filoni to do another TV show. I would love to do something post-Jakku reconstruction of the Republic.
Yeah. I'm kind of pissed that it's going to be on their streaming service, because I'm not interested in their streaming service.
It's going to be on their streaming service? I didn't know that.
Yeah, from what I read.
I think that's about it for our news, because, stuff that's coming out and stuff that may come out. But this month, we're looking back to the late 90s and early 2000s and talking about the Star Wars prequels. Me and Roan and Emma Grant will be writing better prequels. So we'll be getting to that in a minute. Welcome to this month's discussion for the Trash Compactor podcast. I'm MC and I'm here with
Roan
and Emma Grant.
So at this podcast, we're big supporters of the prequels, but we still recognize that there are some things that need improvements, and so we're going to be discussing what to change and what to keep in our ideal versions of the Star Wars prequels.
You know, when you suggested this podcast or this podcast topic, I was like less prequel positive than I am now, and I was just like, what? How are we gonna fix it? There, you can't fix it. It's totally broken. But yeah, I have different thoughts now, so this should be interesting.
I think there's a good idea there. It's just that there is a lot of problems in the execution of it, and it's mostly, like, all of the stuff that I have written down, it's mostly, like, little tweaks here and there, except for, like, one big change that I would make. There's just one big change. And that's basically Phantom Menace is, for the most part, gone.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess in learning how to edit one's own work, you kind of have to figure out what works first before you start, you know, breaking stuff. Because in the process of trying to fix something, you don't want to break something that was working before. So I what works for the prequels for you guys?
So I have to say, I went to see, like many of us did, I went to see The Phantom Menace the day that it came out. And I went with a bunch of friends from grad school, and we waited in line, and everybody was in costume, and everyone was so excited because it had been 16 years, right?
Yeah.
And it was so amazing, right? And I think the first 10 minutes of The Phantom Menace, I was just exhilarated. Like, everything up until Jar Jar came on screen, I was like, oh. Because, like, we didn't know anything about the Jedi. And, like, to have these guys come out and just be, like, fucking invincible. And have, like, the Nemoidians go, like, oh, we're gonna die now. Like, it doesn't matter how many blast doors you close, how many droids you send at them, we're gonna die. That was incredible because we had never seen that. We had really only seen Luke Skywalker, right?
Right. So we'd never seen the Jedi at their peak.
The Jedi at their peak, and that it was just so well done. The first 10 minutes of that movie, and I watched that, and then I turned the rest of it off often, frankly, and skip ahead to the next one.
Well, I know a lot for when people do fan edits, and they, like, will edit down, like, all of the movies into one, they will often, for The Phantom Menace, just keep the end fight scene with Darth Maul, because that scene's amazing.
That's good, too. You're right.
Yeah. And also, I do have to say, in The Phantom Menace's credit, it does have, like, my favorite song out of every Star Wars movie. I fucking love Duel of the Fates so much.
Everybody loves Duel of the Fates. Right, so I think we can all agree the music has to stay, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's John Williams, so.
I like what we see of Anakin and Obi-Wan, like, as friends.
Yes.
When we get to see that. We actually don't get all that much of it. But what we have is really good.
I think that's one of the reasons that the Clone Wars works so well, is
you get
a good look at their friendship. And you get it teased all through the prequel trilogy. And yeah, you're right. You want more of that.
Yeah. I mean, I actually do have a note, and it's just like, can I just take the Clone Wars TV show?
And just I have the exact same note. How interesting. We didn't talk beforehand.
I liked the concept of Padme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, you know, having this female character who is so young but also, like, really smart and really savvy, and I loved that. It was exciting to see.
I like the contrast between her and Anakin. I thought that was very interesting, that we have this person who is born into the most privileged that you can possibly imagine in this particular galaxy. She's basically the queen. She has everything. She's incredibly educated. She's very smart, you know, everything, right? Mm-hmm, she becomes a senator. She's a very influential and powerful senator. And then you contrast that with Anakin, who was born in slavery. And so I think that's yeah. fascinating. That's a great, like, that comparison between the two. His yeah. roots could not be more humble, and hers could mm-hmm. not, she could not have more privilege. It's pretty amazing.
And Anakin being born, having him be a slave, I don't mind that as his backstory. That's actually not a bad backstory for him.
No, and it makes sense in everything that we know yeah. about Tatooine from, mm-hmm. like, other stuff. I yeah. think, too, I was really intrigued, and I know some people are bothered by this, but I was really intrigued that finding out the Jedi Order was not this shining perfect city on a hill
yes.
that, yeah. that you kind of pictured it as being. Mm-hmm. That it was kind of a messed up organization when you really got down to it. That was really interesting to me.
The one thing I found really weird is when looking at the movies, I actually found I changed Revenge of the Sith very little. For the most part, and like there are some big parts that I have a problem with in Revenge of the Sith, but Revenge of the Sith by itself is actually a fairly good movie. It's just there's some things that need to be tweaked. They did film the Padme as part of the rebellion, like the foundation of the rebellion, which they should have kept it.
Yes.
But kind of the guts of that movie is actually pretty good.
It's definitely my favorite of the three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had been waiting 20 years, more than 20 years, actually, if I think about it, to see the duel between Obi-Wan and Anakin. And
yes.
That did not disappoint me. That was incredible. It was everything I wanted it to be.
Getting to see that falling out between them.
Yeah,
and you know, I love Qui-Gon.
Oh my god,
we get a lot of them.
Qui-Gon, I think that yes. okay, that's like a thing, right? Like I will, as much as I like have issues with the Phantom Menace, I will always be in the debt of whoever wrote it for setting up the whole master and apprentice system. As well, much of fandom, we will always be in their debt. It's so great.
So I, you know, we've talked a little bit about some positive things. If you could change just one thing about the prequels, like it could be a huge thing, but if you could change just one thing about all three movies across all of them, what would it be?
Okay. So, I'm just going to say Anakin and then I'm going to fill this out. So the point of the prequels from my perspective is to show us Anakin's story, right? To demonstrate how a great Jedi, someone who we're told in A New Hope that he was a great Jedi, how he could be turned to the dark side and become so unspeakably evil to become this figure, this Darth Vader character that we see in A New Hope. So ideally, in my mind, we would have gone on a journey with Anakin, kind of like you do in Breaking Bad, where you start with the main character and you are drawn in really slowly, and step by step you see how he makes these little choices and how it gets him to this point of no return. And he does, in the end, he does things that are so terrible that as a viewer, you've been so sucked in that you're like, whoa, would I have done the same thing in his position? I think that's where Anakin's story is. And yeah. If you're not following him and if you're not rooting for him, even though you kind of know where he ends up, if you're not sucked in that way, you don't understand Obi-Wan's and Padme's devotion to him. You don't understand why Padme mm-hmm. fell in love with him in the first place, because he was like
yeah.
this like really immature and, you know, whiny, dysfunctional person. Like, yeah. why? Like, you're not going to fix him, honey. It's like that kind of a thing, right? So like, how could he, I mean, like how, right? How could she have fallen for him? So if you,
yeah.
you know, and Obi-Wan talks about him later, he was a great friend. And okay, so if you ignore all that and you look at the Clone Wars instead, the Clone Wars, like, God bless Dave Filoni. Like, the Clone Wars totally took that character and it made it work. Like, mm-hmm. I would almost say ignore, like watch the prequels through your fingers and then watch the Clone Wars and just go yes, yes, yes to all of this. Because mm-hmm. They redeemed him there in a lot of ways. They showed him as a complex, yeah. interesting, passionate, loyal, and ultimately flawed Jedi. And you can see how he takes the journey that he does. You see him as a great Jedi. He's a respected leader. He's a warrior. He's also as good a husband as he can be to this woman who loves him. So, I mean, it fixes so much. And then, so if you watch, like, everything in order, right? You watch The Phantom Menace, you watch Attack of the Clones, you watch The Clone Wars, and then you watch Revenge of the Sith. You're like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, what happened? where did first, you know, where's Ahsoka, right? All this stuff. So like, okay,
yeah,
so there's all of that.
Where's Ahsoka?
Where's it? So I think that's a huge issue. And so, you know, and I look at, so I compare what the prequels did to what Rogue One did. Rogue One, in contrast, did this incredible job of bridging from Revenge of the Sith. The last view you have of Anakin in Revenge of the Sith before he goes into the suit is like of this like really battered man. His arms and legs have been sliced off. His body is burned beyond, almost beyond recognition. The first view you have of Vader in Rogue One is where he's coming out the back to tank and you see just what's left of his body. So they're directly connecting the two. They're saying this is the same guy. Okay, and then he goes into the suit. Every time you see him, you only see him a handful of, not even a handful of times, like three times maybe in Rogue One. Every time you see him, he gets closer and closer. The last view of him, it's not, it's very fitting that the first and only lightsaber that you see in Rogue One is Vader's, and it's ignited at the end of the film. It's the Vader that we first met, and he's evil and he is unknowable. His transformation in the eyes of the viewer from the guy we saw into the suit at Revenge of the Sith and this and the guy that we see at the beginning of A New Hope is complete. And it's he's barely in the damn film, and they do a better job in that film of showing his arc than I think they do in all the prequels.
I think that last scene in Rogue One really is, like, it works that well because it does close that circle of, you know, this is, now he's Vader. Now, you know, he's more machine than man. At this
right,
point.
Exactly.
I think for me, and again, this is Anakin related. poor Anakin. I mean, he just, I think ultimately the biggest problem with Anakin is that his fall is not something you can put in a movie. Or even two movies, or clearly even three movies. Yeah. It does take six seasons of the Clone Wars for you to get to this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, I know everyone beats on the romance, and I really, really, really want to love Anakin and Padme in the movies. But they just failed at setting it up. I mean,
I hate sand.
I mean, there's just nothing there. It's just like, and it's not even that they don't have chemistry, because I think they do. Mm-hmm. But, and it's not even the bad dialogue, because God knows that didn't help. But, I mean, Star Wars has bad dialogue. Like,
yeah.
So it's not that. It was just, they just didn't convince me why this girl, you know, this guy walks into her life again, and he, last time she saw him, he was like a 9-year-old kid with a dorky haircut, and now all of a sudden he's the love of her life, because he's creepy.
He is so creepy.
He's like, boundaries, what boundaries?
Oh God, yes.
And
my point actually ties to both of yours, and it is also about Anakin, because apparently that's a, and I mean,
Anakin is the weak link. It's really sad.
And I'm really sorry, Jake Lloyd. But Kid Anakin has to go. Like, I mean, that's like the biggest change that needs to happen in the Phantom Menace. Anakin needs to come into the story as, you know, like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, they start him too young.
Yeah, so, you know, have him be like around the same age as Padme, have him be Hayden Christensen or whatever.
The age gap, the age gap was a problem too.
The age gap, and it just made no sense. I mean, it didn't need to be there, and it just made their relationship really creepy, and it lessened the character development for Anakin.
Yeah, because you didn't have three movies worth. You only had two.
Yeah, you only had two movies to really develop Anakin, because he's just kind of like this little, you know, kid sidekick in the first movie.
You know, I wonder if they did that in part because, you know, they wanted to show how unique and amazing he was. You know, that he's this young and he's able to do all these things. But I wonder how much of it also was really trying to hammer home that Anakin was a child. He was an innocent child who had all this potential for good. And, you know, look at where he winds up. Like, you know, the first posters that we saw for Phantom Menace, where you have Jake Lloyd standing there in the shadow that he's casting as Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. And it's a gorgeous poster, actually.
Yeah,
I really love that poster
it
a lot.
Is. And the idea is perfect, but it just doesn't work.
I feel like they could have found a better way to convey that other than showing Anakin as a little kid.
Yeah.
Because it really does suspend disbelief that this little kid can go off and destroy, like, this big ship in the Trade Federation. And it blatantly retcons the line in A New Hope where Obi-Wan says, "When I first met your father, he was already a great pilot." And it's like, this little kid, I mean, he was okay.
Well, but I think that's why the pod racing scene happened, because that was him being a pilot.
I'm thinking about, like, the what you just said when he destroys the ship. So the interesting thing for me, okay, so in The Phantom Menace, okay, I buy the pod racing. I buy Anakin being able to fly the pod racers. That I can suspend my disbelief for, even though he's like 9 freaking years. I have a 9-year-old, okay? I wouldn't trust this. I don't trust my 9-year-old with, like, I wouldn't put my 9-year-old in my car, right? But anyway, this thing, right? So I buy that. And that whole thing, it shows that he had this incredible ability and he was really force sensitive and he was very special. I buy that. That's great. And that catches Qui-Gon's attention and so on. What I don't buy is him fucking blowing up that mothership. Like, okay, because it was an accident. It didn't take any particular skill. It wasn't like he was a great pilot. There was no reason for it except to be funny.
That's
and to
exactly
be kind of lighthearted.
It.
And then you look at everyone else, like all the Gungans who are dying, and you look at like all the Naboo humans that live on Naboo, whatever they're called, who are dying, and all the people who are, I mean, you look at it just takes the sacrifice of everyone else in this battle and diminishes it to, oh, this kid ended the battle. Ha ha, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And it didn't do anything. He didn't need to be the hero. He didn't use the force. Yeah. It didn't make him more special. They could, if they really wanted him to be the hero of that battle, they could have written something where he used the force or something. I mean, Qui-Gon fucking died, right? And we're going, ha ha, mm-hmm. Anakin blew up the ship. Like, that I can't suspend my disbelief for that. Like, they lost.
I almost feel so much of The Phantom Menace with Anakin. It was George Lucas trying to appeal to little kids, being like, look, you too can
be a Star
save.
Wars fan.
Well, and I mean, he has said that the original movies were aimed toward younger kids. But it just, I think the original trilogy managed to be for kids without.
Yeah.
Talking down.
I think there's a difference between being family friendly and kid friendly. The original trilogy is family friendly, but The Phantom Menace is kid friendly.
Yeah, insert some fart jokes and then it's kid friendly.
Yeah.
Right?
And a funny guy with big ears.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. That's on my list too.
And one thing I've noticed with the original trilogy to the prequels is that all of the aliens in the original trilogy are fucking subtitled. But when you get to the prequels, suddenly there's, like, very little subtitle in it. And mostly you just have aliens with funny, stereotypical accents.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so since we're already getting there, how about we actually get there and go, okay, movie by movie. This is going to be the long segment, I can tell. Phantom Menace. What needs to change in The Phantom Menace? I mean, assuming that you want it to exist.
I was going to say something that was actually just mentioned is who was the target audience for this movie? And I'm still unclear. Was it the Star Wars original trilogy fans who had waited 16 years? Was it young children who had never seen or heard of Star Wars and their parents took them like, oh, yay, let's go see Star Wars? Was it the general public who had seen the original trilogy, but like, we're like, oh, we kind of remember this, but whatever. Like, who was the audience? And I don't think the filmmakers and the writers knew who their audience was because it was all over the place.
It's filmmaker and writer because George Lucas had nobody looking at anything.
Yeah. I mean, so you compare it to, okay, so like the world building in The Force Awakens and Rogue One were so much tighter and so much more subtle and integrated into the writing of the film and into the visuals of the film. And in The Phantom Menace, you have Jar Jar being the role of the naive, whoa, what are Jedi? What is the Force? You know, like to the dumb character who everybody, you know, who the story is explained through somehow. But he's like the one who appeals to, I don't know, maybe he's supposed to appeal to kids. You know, he does. My child loves him. And my favorite character is Jar Jar. And I was like, I have to disown you now because that was, no, you're never allowed to say that again. Stop. But that, like, I feel like it was all over the place, like who this story was for. And when you look at, you look at the movies that have come out since the last two, you know, in particular, they know who their audience is and they know who they're writing for. And it's so much better done overall.
And it's not that it still doesn't actually appeal to kids, because
right.
I mean, I saw Rogue One with, you know, a couple of tweens and a teenager, and they loved it. They were freaking into it.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to bash on George Lucas in saying this, but actually if you go back and read like the first drafts of Star Wars, which are available online, and I'll try to find a link in the show notes, but for the original The Star Wars script, you can actually see, like, by reading it, it's like, I kind of understand how we got to The Phantom Menace from here. It's just that he had a lot of other people reading it and being like, maybe you should change this and this and this.
Maybe it's because Carrie Fisher wasn't involved, you know?
But yeah, I know for The Phantom Menace, like, when he wrote the script, he's like, nobody's going to read this until we do, like, the script read through. He did all of the editing and directing, and yeah, so it was a very insular process, which is, it's always good to have a beta, people.
Yes. Even if you are George yeah. Lucas, even if you are Anne Rice, you really need an editor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the thing that I always saw with the prequels, and in fact with the re-released versions of the original trilogy, is Lucas is super enamored of his ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, is great, because he has some really fascinating ideas. But he is one of those writers who lets ideas get in the way of story.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just have this, like, image of, like, it's going to be the best ideas. It's going to be the best movie. I'm going to build another Death Star. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, seriously. it's not inaccurate, a comparison. I mean, not from a, like, you know, morality sort of political perspective, but from a mindset perspective, you know, he really, and see, to me, this is like Tolkien did the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas get in the way of the story.
Yeah.
And everything that he added in the re-released versions, everything in the prequels, is like, there should be this really cool thing here. He loves the cool factor.
Yeah.
And not so much the story factor.
Yeah.
And that's what we got in the prequel trilogy, I think. For me, Phantom Menace, yeah, God, get rid of Jar Jar. Please get rid of all the racist stereotypes, just period.
Yeah, I mean, I would accept the Gungans still being there, but take out Jar Jar's tomfoolery.
Yes.
And you know, subtitle them. So
I mean, Jar Jar
yeah,
is a minstrel.
It really
show.
Is, yeah. I actually had that in my notes, so. but yeah, just get rid of these, you know, like, really offensive accents, and just subtitle them with, like, you know, alien language or whatever, and you'll be fine. Because they did that in the original trilogy, and nobody ever had a problem with that.
I mean, we didn't even subtitle the Ewoks, but we knew what was going on.
Yeah.
True.
You know? Yeah.
It's because C-3PO wasn't finished and couldn't translate for us, was that the deal? The Maker. Oh my God. I did laugh at that. Though I rolled my eyes, but I laughed. The Maker. Oh Jesus.
Are we keeping that bit in? I go back and forth on whether or not Anakin should have felt free.
I kind of like that actually.
I guess I would like it if he was older, like if he wasn't like a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of problems with the Phantom Menace will be fixed if Anakin were like 5 years older. Like,
yeah.
Padme's age.
I think with my Phantom Menace, I would want to do like almost a hybrid version of the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. Because both of those, I think I could cut enough out of both of those that I could fit the plots together. And nothing of value would be lost.
You should totally do one of the fan edits.
Well, I mean, I don't. I wouldn't be able to do a fan edit of my version of it. I would actually have to write a fanfic, because what I would want to do, like, just isn't there. But like, instead of doing like these long trade talks.
Oh my God! Yes. What
in a movie that's ostensibly aimed at children? I mean, that again. That's,
yeah.
Who was
ideas
the audience?
Ideas getting ahead of story. That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah. But I would like have the Clone Wars be already going on. Like, maybe they're not the Clone Wars yet. Like, the clones have not started into things, but there's like open conflict.
You've got
going
the whole
on.
Separatist and Republic thing going on.
Yeah, there is war going on, and Padme, like, I like Padme, but I would make her just a senator flat out rather than being a queen, because that whole queen thing was, like, super confusing. It's like, she's an elected queen, and she's 14.
Yeah, why would you elect children to rule your planet? Like, exactly. They don't explain that or make it make sense at all.
Yeah.
It was a really cool idea.
If I remember in the Expanded Universe, they explained it as something about the innocence of children, like, helps guide them, and I don't know. It's weird.
It's like when the novelization, when the person writes the novelization, is like, I gotta justify this shit somehow.
Basically, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, just have her be, like, a really young senator, and she's doing something, and maybe she is she's supporting the creation of the clone army. And for that, people are trying to kill her like they do in the beginning of Attack of the Clones. And so then this brings in Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon to protect her. So instead of, like, sending them to the Jedi to, like, negotiate a treaty, which seemed kind of outside of the Jedi's purview, have them be protecting people.
Don't even. Clearly, Phantom Menace. I'm so frustrated at that movie. I get frustrated at the prequel trilogy as a whole because it's there. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the story is there. It just doesn't come out.
I mean, like, yeah. Like, can we talk about the Immaculate Conception? Can we talk about that? Like,
sure, we can.
Oh God,
what the fuck? Like, really? Did we have to do that? Did we have to do that? Like, really?
I will actually be devil's advocate. I don't mind it all that much.
Really? Interesting.
I mind the midichlorians. That's completely...
We have a scientific, like, explanation for foreign sensitivity, yes.
Yeah, it's like, why have that in? But the whole... having her, you know, be, you know, knocked up by the Force.
Like, that's Zeus fine and shower by me. Of gold. Yeah.
And that's fine by me once we get to Revenge of the Sith and we get the story of Darth Plagueis. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this all makes sense now. Except they don't really... it's really all very implied.
Yeah. I think really... To me, I think one of the biggest reasons they went that route was nobody wanted to touch the issue about how a slave wound up pregnant.
Yeah.
Because the obvious answers... Considering that she was owned by one of the Hutts, the obvious answers are not pleasant ones.
Oh.
Jabba is Anakin's father?
No, not Jabba. I think it was Gardula who owned them. But, I mean, you know, the idea being that maybe she was being pimped out or whatever.
Well, yeah.
You know, I never thought about that before. In, like, what, 15 fucking years, I've never thought about that. Wow. No, 20 years.
One of the ways that I kind of rewrote that in my head to make it less annoying was that that was what happened, and she's just denying it.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, that it wasn't Immaculate Conception, but damn it, that bastard doesn't get to claim that this child is his, so...
You know, when she first said there was no father, my first thought was, yeah, there wasn't a... There was no man that stuck around to be a father. Mm-hmm. But then it took me a long time when I first watched that movie to understand that she meant... Immaculate Conception. Like, I thought, okay, yeah, there wasn't a father. Yeah, there was no father in his life. Blah blah blah. She raised him by herself, and it wasn't until Qui-Gon says, "It's possible the midichlorians themselves conceived him," and I was like, "Wait, what? What the hell? Like, are you kidding?" Like, yeah. So that, but that's interesting. That puts I honestly hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, that was like, as I really started looking into this from a fantasy perspective, that was like the first thing that popped into my head. I'm like, that's a dodgy issue. Like, yes, I'm a slave, I'm pitiful and awful, and here I have a kid. How did that happen?
I don't mind Anakin being, like, some sort of chosen one.
No, it makes total sense.
They could have made another reason for it. Like, it didn't have to be, like, he's conceived by the, you know, the Force.
He didn't have to be Jesus.
Yeah, there could have been many different ways. Like, maybe the Jedi had a picture of what he looked like because they saw, like, a Force vision, because I hear Jedi can do that.
Well, I mean, it's very Arthurian. I mean, we have the whole, you know, lightsaber in the stone thing. I mean, it could have been something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, having a chosen one is, like, time-honored mythic tradition. That's fine. You know, but just, you can just say, you are the chosen one. Ta-da! and you don't have to do anything else because that's how Myth works.
So I guess I can take or leave the virgin birth thing. It's the midichlorians that I have a problem with because, I mean, it was just there and it doesn't add anything and it just pissed people off.
And it's vanished. I mean, nobody has. I mean, were midichlorians even mentioned in either of the two follow-ups?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it was like, oh, look, midichlorians. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, basically.
So, I mean, pretty much I think we've just said that the Phantom Menace as a whole just needs to be fixed. We want to move on to Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. Well, like I said, like, my versions of, like, the first movie would be, like, the Phantom Menace, like, with Attack of the Clones, like, kind of mixed in with it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, most of, like, the Amidala stuff with her, like, almost being assassinated, I would keep all that stuff, and actually that would be how her and Anakin would fall in love. Like, this would be their first meeting, rather than creepy kid thinking about her for, what was it, like, 7 years or something? I think Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan would, like, be protecting her, and I kind of want Anakin to, like, come in as, like, this Coruscant-y street rat. He's like...
basically Ezra.
he's almost like Han Solo, where he comes in and he's, like, hot shit pilot. Eventually they'll end up on Tatooine, because I will let Tatooine still be Anakin's home planet, and then we can bring Shmi into things and explain Anakin's backstory without having to see him be like a 10-year-old wunderkin.
I like this so much already. Like,
yeah,
I'm
like,
read
hey,
this
I'm
fic,
into this.
You know,
of course,
I want to read this fic.
I'm just a total sucker. I mean, okay, here's how badly Attack of the Clones screwed up their romance. Okay, bodyguard falling in love with the person they're guarding is like my bulletproof go-to never ever ever fails trope. You do that, you got me. I mean, I have written a novel length fic and an actual novel with this trope. Even my second novel really kind of is a variation. I mean, I'm into this trope and it didn't work. Like, if you take my favorite trope in the entire world and I'm still looking at the romance going, yeah, that's just not.
Yeah.
So that's my problem. That's my biggest thing I want to change in Attack of the Clones. It was so frustrating for me. Okay, this is me getting on like my soapbox because this was such an issue for me. This is going to sound like a tangent, but I promise it's not. So I was raised fundamentalist Christian. I'm sure most people who know me know that by now. And very much like, you know, you don't do anything before marriage ever, period. And they taught us constantly, like, how to avoid temptation. You know, like, you don't hang around alone together, and you don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted, blah, blah, blah. For Padme to be like, no, I don't love you, I'm not interested in you, and then to sit in a firelit room wearing a BDSM outfit from hell.
Yes.
With the guy that she knows has the hots for her. I mean, just, why?
I need to find the Robot Chicken sketch. I'm sure it's on YouTube where they actually cover that very scene. And it eventually gets to the point where there's a stripper pole in the room and she's using it. She's like, Anakin, we can't be together.
Seriously. Like, I mean, talk about some mixed freaking signals.
Oh my God.
I just really just know. You just, it makes her look bad.
Yeah.
It makes him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And it makes him even creepier because she keeps going, no. And he's like, but I love you. And we have to be together. It's like, talk about ultimate entitled white dude. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I love you, therefore we have to be together.
Like, from Padme's perspective, I'm like, you know what, honey? Get you some of that. He's hot. Mm-hmm. Go for it. He's a Jedi. He's not supposed to. He's kind of off limits. Yeah, I get that. That's like my priest kink, you know? Yeah, I kind of get that. So like, screw the guy while you're on this, like, fake dating mission. That's one of my tropes that I love, right? They're on this fake dating mission, screw the guy, and then move on with your fucking life because you are a senator.
Screw the guy and then screw the guy
and then leave. Yeah. You know, get back to your life, your awesome life as a senator. I mean, you know,
yeah,
like he's a Jedi, there's no future there, and she kind of says that, but whatever. I'm like, you know, Padme, come on.
I never really cared for the whole the Jedi cannot be with people. Maybe it's because I read
this is another topic
before I saw these movies, but actually I kind of wanted them to have the Jedi not have like a prohibition against being with somebody, but I did kind of want the Jedi to have to approve relationships. And I thought it might have been, like, a cool idea if the Jedi can be with somebody, but it's just the Jedi will not let Anakin be with Padme, and it's mostly because they know Anakin's so fucked up.
Now, this is something that I find really interesting about the prequels, and so going back to things that I liked, is this idea that the Jedi Order has been defined as very monastic, and this idea that you're supposed mm-hmm. to separate yourself from all of your worldly possessions and worldly desires, and you're supposed to have this capacity to love all people, but you're not going to get attached to anyone in particular, not even to the people within the Order, and which is a great thing for fanfic to play with, right? So this idea, you know, and then you take, and this actually lines up with this really bizarrely cruel idea of taking children away from their parents mm-hmm. before they form an attachment to them, so that they are essentially raised in an orphanage and, you know, are taught not to, taught to care, but not to care too much. And so, and that's mm-hmm. one of the failings of the Jedi Order. And I find that fascinating because it's one of the things that makes a lot of sense to me. And then you take Anakin, who comes in, he's 9 years old, he's too old. He's got this attachment to his mother. I have a 9-year-old. I have a hard time watching the scene now where Shmi sends him away. I understand why she sends him away, but the fact that she's not bawling her fucking eyes out during that scene, I can't even handle. But like this idea that, you know, you take these children away so they can't form attachments, and then you put this child Anakin in who has attachments and who has this incredible capacity to love mm-hmm. and to feel, and he's empathetic, and that's essentially his downfall, but it's his downfall because the Jedi Order says that those things are wrong. And I think mm-hmm. that that's one of the things that I find really fascinating about the story, is that he fails as a Jedi, I think, for the reasons that the Order fails in some sense. His love for Padme, he has a dream that Padme dies in childbirth, and somehow that is the thing. I mean, that's weird, but that is the thing that then, like, he goes off and slaughters 100 children to maybe save his wife who might die in childbirth because he dreamed about it. That makes no sense at all. But that is at least a person who is loyal and passionate, you know, and he will do anything to protect her. And so that idea that it's his love, that it's his downfall, is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were on a far more interesting path, you know, if you wanted to do the whole Doom thing, I think I had read somewhere that initially they thought about making it a triangle with Obi-Wan.
I did hear that.
Oh, God, please. Yes. Yes.
Can we make it a three-way triangle? I would like that.
Yeah,
there'd be three sides to that triangle.
That would be perfect. But, you know, we didn't get it. But I think there was a far more interesting view of Anakin as someone who is concerned with, like, order at all costs, you know, very much like, I mean, Anakin, as we see him when he's having that conversation with Padme about, you know, like, but it's, you know, how you're all arguing and nothing's getting done, and, you know, someone should just decide, and, you know, there needs to be order. That's like lawful good to the extreme, where lawful good mm-hmm. is like bordering lawful evil. And I think that's a far more interesting way for him to fall, you know, mm-hmm. that he's so concerned with things being right and orderly and in control that, you know, he goes too far.
Attack of the Clones really needed to be a lot more of the actual Clone Wars. Because think about the movies, how much we actually see of the Clone Wars just in the movies, not counting the TV show. We see like maybe 10 minutes of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see a lot more of the Clone Wars to actually, and it would tie to what you said about Anakin, about, you know, him wanting order. We need to see the chaos of war rather than spending an entire movie of them falling in love and Obi-Wan trying to solve this mystery. We need to see them get into the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's another reason that Clone Wars works as well as it does, is we see the reason for the fight. We see what the fight is doing to the galaxy.
One last thing for Attack of the Clones. Fuck Boba Fett. Boba Fett can just go to fucking hell.
How can you say that about that little kid? He's just a little kid.
But he added nothing. He was just there for fan service. And it just made, like, it's just like, oh, you guys know who he's going to turn into.
He did feel like fan service. That felt like, yeah.
Although I really do love that, like, the fanboy's favorite character turned out to be a man of color, though. That's kind of cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And then you see that all throughout the Clone Wars, right? Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. The clones. I am developing a new appreciation for the clone characters that got developed in Clone Wars, yeah. But that's, like, mm-hmm. nothing to do with this.
Yeah, like, for Attack of the Clones, I do have a note of, you know, not only do I want to see more of the Clone Wars, I want to see more of the Jedi interacting with the clones, so yes. that it actually is really shocking when Order 66 goes down. Because Order 66, that's a great scene, and it would be so much better if we actually fucking cared about any of the characters that we saw get killed.
Well, yeah, I mean, the comic, the Kanan comic, The Last Padawan, does that so well. Because
oh, yes.
We do see the relationship that Caleb and his master have with their clones, and how close mm-hmm. they are, and how, like, Caleb was learning how to be a leader through working with these men, and, you know, just the trust that was there. And so seeing it turn was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and certainly we get a little bit of, like, with Rex, his regret for everything that happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I love Rex so much.
So, for Revenge of the Sith, as I said at the beginning, it's really my favorite of the three. I think it's the best of the three.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels more cohesive. It's more, I think, because we are in the thick of the war, you know, we get it.
Yeah.
The big pet peeves I have with it is we have awesome, amazing Padme reduced to crying pregnant woman.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, like, that's for Revenge of the Sith. It's everything Padme basically needs to be changed in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, she needs to not be crying. I mean, I get that pregnancy makes you emotional, but...
yeah.
You know, I think that one of the things that really bothers me about that is that Anakin's mother and wife were fridged to advance his character. And I will never not be unhappy about that.
And, yeah. I mean, tying into that, she lost the will to live? Really?
Yeah. I still don't understand what happened there. I've heard fan theories that did different things, but so I have so many issues with that. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, so many issues. But, like, honestly, to go back a little bit, my bigger issue there is that she looked 6 months pregnant, 7 at the most, with twins. Were full term.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm sorry. No, they were full term babies. Those babies weighed 7 pounds each. That's not what the pregnant belly of a woman carrying 7 pound twins looks like. And
But I mean, that's a Hollywood thing. That's not so much a story. Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I seriously had a problem with the fact that Obi-Wan does eventually say it's like the child's Anakin's, and it's like, well, no fucking shit, Obi-Wan. Like, you give Sherlock Holmes a run for his money.
Honestly, that was one of my favorite things about the Clone Wars, is like, you really saw just how bad they are at hiding the fact that they're married. Fucking everybody knows that they're married. It's just nobody's talking about it.
But in terms of the broken heart thing, which... that was, I think I wrote that down like 3 times, no dying of a broken heart.
Seriously.
I don't know why they did it, but I almost feel like it might be because they wanted Anakin to kill her, but then they thought that if Anakin killed her, that people would not want to see him redeemed in Return of the Jedi. But the thing is, in this movie, we've already seen him kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different. I mean, okay, yes, from an objective moral perspective, no, it's not different. But this is what we've seen with The Force Awakens. I think they were right about that. Because we have seen Kylo Ren kill his father, there is a huge contingent of people that absolutely do not want to see him redeemed because of that. And I think if we had seen him kill Padme, it wouldn't be quite as strong a reaction to that, but I can see, I mean, from a story perspective, seeing your bad guy kill random people, even if they are kids, is different mm-hmm. from seeing him kill this character that you have come to love over 3 movies.
So one of the, okay, so the fan theory that made the most sense to me, and it's a stretch, but it made the most sense to me, was that Anakin was so afraid of Padme dying that Palpatine gave him this, when he switched to the dark side, Palpatine, behind the scenes, kind of told him how to use his own sort of connection to the Force to bolster Padme's life. And so he connected himself to Padme through the Force in such a way. So when Padme dies is the same time as he's going into the suit, right? And they flip back and forth. Mm-hmm. Between those two, they edit really quickly between those two back and forth. And so she's dying as he's going into the suit because he's losing his grip on the Force at that point. Yeah. Like, it's all he can do to remain alive. And the reason she dies is because he has tethered her to him. So he does kill... Mm. So according to this fan theory, he does kill her, in a sense, because of the action that he took to tether her to him.
Yeah, I have read the theory that Palpatine had actually, like, used the Force to, like, kill her, like, because she definitely needs to be out of the way.
And that would make Anakin mad, and that would make Anakin go more to the dark side, and that's what Palpatine wants.
Yeah, and, yeah. And the expansion of that I've seen is that it actually is, like, a combination of both of your theories, that Palpatine was pulling Padme's life force into Anakin so that he would survive what he was going through.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
I kind of like that.
It's even more evil.
Because it kind of ties into the whole, like, you know, having control over life and death thing. You know, if he's channeling her life energy into Anakin.
Mm.
Which I like that. It's much better than, oh, she lost the will to live. Like, yeah, bitch, she just had two kids that she's crazy about. No, I'm sorry.
She's had two children, yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, yes, like, people yes, not that people women die don't in die in childbirth
because they do, but, I mean, yeah, like, the idea of that she lost the will to live when she has these two babies, that, I'm sorry. As of someone like who has, like, had a child and who almost died in childbirth, like, fuck that. Like,
yeah,
no.
That's not the Padme we see.
No, that is not Padme. So there has to be something else, and I love that theory. I like that Palpatine sucked it out of her better than Anakin accidentally killed her, because even more tragic.
Yeah,
and it's more evil. I mean, it's more
it's more evil.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's my thing.
Revenge of the Sith. It makes me so angry that, like, one of the biggest changes that I would want to make to this movie is something that they actually did for the movie, like the whole Padme, like, founding the rebellion with Mon Mothma,
and then they cut
Bail Organa,
and they cut it.
So seeing her in Rogue One made me so happy. Like, I was like, there. Like, they're fixing all the mistakes that Lucas made. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, and I gotta say, I know we talked about the things we love about, you know, things we liked about the movies. I will say, I cannot watch the ending without crying.
Yeah, that's true.
Know, the ending's great.
When, you know, when we see Obi-Wan bringing Luke to Owen and Beru. And you know, see Leia with you know, Breha and Bail.
Big brown eyes looking up at them.
I know, oh, we get their themes in the background. Like, the second the Force theme starts and, you know, and Obi-Wan's, like, climbing off of the Bantha or whatever he was on, I'm like, boo hoo hoo. And then they go over to the same place that Luke stands to look off into the sunset with the baby. And I'm just like,
what? With baby Luke. Oh.
And honestly, as much as I brag on The Phantom Menace, like, Padme's funeral, where they, like, pan down her body and they show that she's holding the Jabor snippet.
Yeah.
That's fucking beautiful.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I like
that. And they still could have worked that in even if he was, you know,
14.
Like, a teenager. Yeah.
I love your idea of having him be, like, a Coruscant Street rat. I think, oh my God.
I know, that's, like, such an Aladdin story. I love it.
I can't stop thinking about it. Someone write that fic.
Now I want to write it.
I want to find
some time. I will write my own version of the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I spent most of last year rewriting the original trilogy, so why not?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like what we're saying is, you know, the prequels have so much good stuff, and it wouldn't take a ton of changes to make it better.
Just the basically, first movie would need a hell of a lot of changes.
Yeah, the first movie is like the big one.
Yeah, we basically want to give the prequels a makeover, like in the Princess Diaries, where it's just with taking off the glasses and fixing the hair.
Stop putting the idea ahead of the story, damn it. Just because it's cool doesn't mean it needs to go in the movie and make a lot of noise and draw attention to itself.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
But change Anakin. Change Anakin. Recast Anakin. I'm sorry, Hayden Christensen. Charlie Hunnam should have gotten that role. Like, he was one of the finalists for the role. He should have gotten that role. And, like, I think he would have been a much better Anakin. Like, recast. Oh, my God.
I don't know. Yeah. I loved Hayden Christensen, but now you're saying...
I thought Hayden Christensen was okay.
I loved him, but, you know, you're saying Charlie Hunnam, and I'm like, holy shit.
Oh my God, yeah. He was one of the, but the last thing he had done at the time, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, this was the theory at the time, was the last thing he had done was the UK Queer as Folk, where he played like the Justin character. I can't remember what the kid's name was. So like he had just done like a lot of like gay sex. People were like, well, maybe he wouldn't be the best choice.
Maybe
we were everyone in fandom was like, he was the best choice. Come on. But he's had such a great career, and he's such a fantastic. Oh, he's so fantastic. He would have been a great Anakin.
Yeah. I haven't seen what he looked like back at the time. So
not that much different, just younger.
Yeah, he looked he looked right.
He looked good.
At that time, he bore and not small resemblance to young Mark Hamill.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and y'all know how I feel about that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel almost with casting, it's like it's so hard for me to decide like if like people should be recast because the script, the dialogue is so bad.
Oh, you know what? I say that is another huge change that should have happened to the trilogy. They should have
bring Carrie Fisher in.
Bring Carrie as a script doctor. Yep.
Let Carrie fix that shit because like,
I felt that way without saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it never goes without saying.
But keep Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson. Keep those two because
And Natalie Portman.
They were perfect. Perfect. I like Natalie Portman. Quite a lot. Yes, Natalie Portman.
And I'd keep Samuel L. Jackson. I'd keep basically everyone
except like, Hayden Christensen. I'm so sorry, Hayden. But you know,
I might have to hold auditions. and also, damn it, I like that Anakin Skywalker lives in my hometown. So, so I'm biased.
Nice, interesting. Yeah,
well, Emma, thank you so much for coming back. You're like one of our go-to prequel people now. Yes.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's so much fun to come back and talk about this stuff again after. 20 years.
So I'd like to thank everyone for participating in this month's podcast. Thank you to April for doing the opening with me and talking about some subjects that we might not be so keen on. And thank you to Brone and Emma Grant for discussing the prequels with me. I had quite a lot of fun. And for our listeners, let us know how we did. You can drop us a line at Tumblr at trashcompactor.tumblr.com, on Twitter at SWTrashPodcast, on our website at trashcompactorpodcast.com, or through good old-fashioned email at thetrashcompactorpodcast@gmail.com. We'll read questions and comments on the show, and we love to have any sort of interaction with our fans. We'll be back next month, and we're trying to figure out exactly what we'll be discussing, but until then, this is MC, and enjoy all of the Star Wars that's coming up.